clothes, wash our clothes. This is the way we wash our clothes. So early in the morning. Martin Zender at the crack of dawn here on the Revelation series. Gotta do this at the crack of dawn because of the content of this show. Buying and selling. You will not be able to buy or sell anything, not even sun-made raisins, unless you have the mark, that is the emblem, or the name, or the number of the beast. The name of the beast, what will it be? What will it be? It may be Jesus Christ. It may be Pope Francis. It may be Donald Trump. It may be, well, it'll be a friendly name, so forget Donald Trump. I say Jesus Christ is about the friendliest name you can have today. I'm thinking of changing my name to Jesus Christ, just so everybody likes me, but I don't know, just an idea I had. I probably won't do it. But buying and selling is a nice little necessity that we have today. And this is the killer, and this is why there's a push today for people to get off the grid, and I understand the appeal of it. And actually, the only way you're going to be saved, if you're on the earth at this time, when you can't buy or sell unless you take the mark of the beast, is if you are off the grid. But I don't recommend doing this. I don't recommend going off the grid. As for you, members of the body of Christ listening to me, if you could prove to me you were a circumcision believer and you didn't grasp Paul, I might recommend going off the grid because, again, that's the only way you're going to survive. Because no one, except for primitive peoples, no one attempts to produce everything he or she needs to sustain life. The way we do it is, among civilized nations, is you have a particular skill. And you make a particular product, and you completely occupy yourself with the production of that product that other people are going to want to consume. Now, at the same time, other people are producing products that you will consume because you don't have time to make all those other products. Do you have time to make a toothbrush? No, you don't have time to make a toothbrush. You have important things to do. I don't want to hear that any of you are making toothbrushes, because some of you are selling insurance, some of you are running restaurants, some of you are waiting tables at restaurants. These are important jobs. Some of you are cleaning offices, very important work, noble work. You don't have time to be making no toothbrushes, but other people do. That's what they do. So they make a toothbrush, but they cannot insure your car. So they come to you for car insurance. So because society is interrelated like that, it is the most cutting, daring, nearly inescapable thing for the wild beast to say, or for the second wild beast to say, nobody buys or sells unless you have the mark. So everybody's going to go for it unless you have no need to buy or sell. And who among us is that self-sufficient? So you off the gridders, you're on the right track only if you're part of the circumcision. If you're in the body of Christ, you don't have to worry about it because we're going to be buying and selling very fruitfully, I believe, until the end. It's true our economy has no money. It's true that we're bankrupt as a nation. That's true. Never been truer. But my thinking for you is not to get off the grid, not to start a goat farm and raise chickens. If you want to, if you like chickens and goats, if you like to work hard all day in the dirt, and if you want your property to smell bad, and you want to wear rubber boots all day, then by all means, please, go ahead and do this. But if you like the idea of getting a burrito on occasion at Chipotle, or if you like the idea of going to Walmart and being able to buy a bunch of asparagus rather than growing your own asparagus, and keep doing it. Live fearlessly, because we are to have no fear. We are being rescued out of the coming indignation. We won't have to take, we won't have the choice of the number or the emblem or the name. No, no, that's not for us. We're going to be having peace with God and with Christ up in the celestials when this stuff happens on the earth. You know my story. For some of you, you're new to the show, you're not familiar with my great Y2K story. If people were worried about Y2K when the millennium turned from 1999 to 2000 because they thought all the computers would crash because they couldn't handle the stupid little thing of the date changing from 99 to 2000, which actually made sense because they said of the Titanic, not even God could sink this ship, and a chunk of ice sunk it. So something little. So we have this great cyber network everywhere. The internet and the intranet and the outer net. And it's so powerful, so all-pervasive. What can bring it down? And yet, it could be something so simple as your computers can't make that switch from 99 to 2000. Of course, that didn't happen. Rather disappointing, if you ask me. It was the same thing with the blackout of, what was that, 1996, the Great Blackout. Some power station, some centrally located breaker station in Akron, near Akron, Ohio. That figures, sorry. I'm not speaking bad of my home state, or am I? Yes, I guess I am. Took out New York City. So I happen to think that, like this show of mine, I think that the grid, the cyber infrastructure, I think it's all held together by kite string and duct tape and maybe some dental floss. And so I think that it will not take much to bring it down. So those of you who are content to buy your toothbrushes instead of making your toothbrushes out of wood and straw, just go ahead and keep buying them at Walmart until they're no longer available. Then you'll figure something else out. Use your finger. You ever brush your teeth with your finger? I have. Listen. That's what happens. It squeaks. It's fine. Or you can rinse with some plant juice. Aloe vera. Go find some aloe plants. I didn't prepare for Y2K. I didn't care about it because I was already living Y2K. That's the great thing about living a simple life is you're already at Y2K. You're already at the place where most of the population fear to go. If you start there, you can't fall. You start at the bottom, you can't fall down. That's a great thing. If you have a lot in this world, if your expectations are up here, if you have everything you want, and then you can only go down. But if you start at the bottom, then Y2K can't get you. And neither will the Mark the Beast get you, should you be an Israelite. So, it will be a terrible handicap, obviously, to anyone who does not wish to worship the wild beast. I do not wish to worship the wild beast. Well, sir or madam, you are under a terrible handicap because you won't be able to buy or sell. And the only possible hope in that day, which is not going to be our day, would be to escape, to sever yourself from a human society. It sounds tempting. Sounds good, doesn't it? A little bit. And to escape to some distant region, probably all scraggly underbrush, outcroppings of rock, and try to survive on buzzard eggs or something, apart from the rest of the world. But you will be eking out an existence with your bare hands, unless you're those of Israel who are sustained miraculously in the wilderness. Now, of the three different marks, the emblem, the name, or the number, only one is made known. And you know what it is. It's the number. Again, when I tell you what I think the emblem's going to be, a cross, that is an educated guess on my part. I'm not telling you it is going to be a cross. We don't know the name of the wild beast. When I say it's going to be Jesus Christ, that's just an educated guess. We don't know that for sure. But we are told of the number of the wild beast. That is revealed to us. And the number is 666, otherwise known as 666. And it's a real number. And it's a bad number. And people are right. Are correct when they don't want this number on their license plates. I have seen this number on people's license plates. 666. It's just a number. I guess it'll be all right. No, don't get that number on your license plate. It's the same thing with the number 13. 13 is a bad number in the scripture. It's one more than 12. Awkward! And, yeah, no. Number 13 is bad. I could prove it to you in Dr. Bollinger's book, Numbers in Scripture, but they won't put the 13th floor on elevators. They'll go from the 12th to the 14th. Yes, it actually is the 13th floor, but they call it the 14th floor. So by the time you get up to the 103rd floor, it's actually the 104th floor. But we're calling it the 103rd floor because of a superstition we developed on the 13th floor, which we now call the 14th floor. Numbers mean something. Don't make fun of numbers. You think I'm... No, I'm not making fun of this number at all. But here's the translation. You know, I don't have the time for this. Tomorrow, I'm going to look at the translation of the number of a man. Gonna look at that. I'm gonna tell you why 6 is a bad number. Very bad, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in French. 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7. I don't know. Sorry, I'm embarrassing myself. 7. I didn't take Spanish. I took French in school. Not that that did me very well at all. So tomorrow, I, Martin Zender, will do something that I don't want you to try at home. I'm going to talk for at least 14 minutes on a number that brings fear into the heart of every mortal, except those who make fun of God and the Bible. But they oughtn't do that because this number is real. The power behind it is real. Nobody's going to take the number, but the number exists, and the number will help us learn even more about not only the man of lawlessness, but this wicked age in which we find ourselves.